Football Friday.
Block, gonna roll, and throw, caught. Lindsay finds running room. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Denver Broncos. McBride holds it into the end zone.
What a play by the Colorado State defense.
The bronze boot coming back to Fort Collins.
Here's Brady Hall.
Five minutes after the second and final hour of the week here. And, man, Football Friday just rocking and rolling. Excellent first hour. We heard from CSU head coach Steve Adazio on the border war victory. Man, he sounded tired, though. I can't imagine. I bet they, you know, I left at 11. I would imagine he didn't get to sleep until, who knows, man. Who knows? Head coaches, I would imagine their brains are constantly going. So, yeah, what a win last night. Now we look to the weekend, and it's starting to get interesting here. And joining me now, we're going to talk a little UCLA, CU here in a moment. But Brian Howell, great friend of the program of Buff Zone. Brian, great to catch up with you, my friend.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you, and must mean there's some football
coming
up.
We finally got a busy Football Friday. We've been doing it for a while, but all we had is Broncos, really. And now, you know, last night we get to recap something. We got a couple of previews locally. So, yeah, it's starting to feel somewhat normal, I guess.
Yeah, somewhat, although, you know, to use the term that people like to throw around, I'm cautiously optimistic, you know, especially as we see news coming out just in the last hour that Utah and Arizona is canceled. That's two Pac-12 games out of the six that are canceled now. So until they actually line up and I'm actually at a stadium watching football teams out there in front of me, I'm not going to get too excited.
Yeah, so what do you know about the Arizona-Utah situation? And again, we're not really postponing these games, right? We're just canceling them. They're done, right?
Yeah, they have the Pac-12 didn't have any window of opportunity to reschedule, so I think these games are just done. But it sounds like this one was, you know, the Cal situation is different because that was one positive case, and then a group that was quarantined that, per county rules, they were not allowed to participate. And so, but with Salt Lake, it's, you know, the cases are so high out there that they canceled that game. So I don't think it's more of an issue on the team as it is in the community there. So it's certainly going to be an issue. Cases are rising all around, and we'll see what happens with getting these games in.
Yeah, and I know, you know, here locally for us, Brian, we were slated to do a high school football game in Fort Collins, and of course we're getting news. We're still kind of waiting on some of that right now, but getting news that more and more high school football games are being canceled or maybe talks of rescheduling at this point.
Yeah, I heard Greeley Central has canceled some games, and yeah, it's a week to week and kind of a day-to-day thing, and so we'll see. But as of right now, the Buffs are scheduled to play UCLA tomorrow and end that long drought of no football and no competitions at all. So I'm hoping it happens, and we'll see if it does.
It's so crazy, you know, Brian, before the Rams game against Fresno State, you know, it just didn't seem real to me. It was, I don't really know what to expect, you know, who really cares? Let's just watch the football game and enjoy it. You know, whoever wins and loses. Once you actually get into the game, it's much different. It kind of feels like, oh, okay, we're watching football again, and now we want to see this team make some noise in their conference. I kind of feel the same way about CU. Like you said, until we see them out on the field, it's hard for me to start building a base this season about what to expect with new coach Carl Durrell and company.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of every year, like, we go in and say, well, we think they're going to be this, and then you never know. But like this year, it's really hard to tell what this team's going to be like. And I think, you know, for me, I sort of have the perspective that you mentioned right before that first CSU game. It's like, well, I just want to watch the football. But at some point, CU's got to start showing, you know, that, hey, we're making progress as a program, things like that. But as of right now, I think that it's just, let's get on the field and then just see what kind of product we have here under Carl Durrell.
Yeah, and a strange season already. So you need your leaders, you need your guys, your performers. So a tough blow with the running back situation with Alex Fontenot. out for this game for sure, a few games, maybe the rest of the season. How much do we know about that, Brian?
Not much. Carl DeRoe's been pretty tight-lipped on that. I mean, we do know he's out this game, and when we asked him about it, they wouldn't say what the injury is, but he basically said, we'll hope to have him ready at some point this season, and if not, we'll get him ready for next year. So that tells me that, it's very possible he doesn't play this year. I mean, it is only, the season's over in 6 weeks.
Right.
It hasn't even started yet. It's over in 6 weeks. So that's not very much time to get healed. Certainly not like 12, 13, or 14 weeks like a normal season. So that window of opportunity is less than it usually is. And so, I don't know if we'll see him or not. I know we won't this week for sure.
Yeah. Well, talk to us a bit about the quarterback situation with Sam Noyer earning the job, that transition back to the quarterback position at safety. I think that's such an intriguing story. I mean, I'm curious to see how it works out, but I always like seeing, I just think it's fun, seeing a position player change positions, but especially a guy changing from a certain position on defense to the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's such a unique situation in that he's really always, I've seen some people say, oh, great, we have a safety playing quarterback. Well, not really. You really had a quarterback trying to play safety last year. So, he was a quarterback his whole life. And it was really, I think, when Tucker made that move last year, I think it was more the fact that CU needed some depth of safety than it was an indictment on Noyer being able to play quarterback. The bus were set with Steven Montez. They had Tyler Lionel, Blake Stenstrom. So they were okay, but they didn't have any depth at safety. And so, Noyer's a very good athlete, and they said, well, we think he can do this. And so it was kind of a natural move there. He wasn't going to get on the field at quarterback anyway. And now, I mean, he said he kept throwing throughout the season, so he's never really lost that. But now he's back at quarterback and kind of where he's comfortable and where he belongs.
Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out for sure. I'm curious to see how it goes. Obviously going to need help from his tight ends, his wide receivers. KD Nixon returning, 35 receptions, 465 yards, 3 touchdowns. Brady Russell expecting some big things from him. So yeah, there's going to be some pressure on them early on with Sam Noyer kind of getting readjusted and then the running back situation. You got to feel there's pressure on proven guys like Nixon and Russell.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're okay at running back too. I mean, they have good talent there. They're pretty deep even without Fontenot, so they could be okay. I think the offensive line is more talented and deep than it's been in a long time. So I think there's people around that can help him, but certainly you want KD Nixon, Daniel Arias, Dimitri Stanley, guys like that stepping up and helping him out. And I would imagine they're going to try to do some kind of short passes, things like that to get Sam going. But we'll see. He needs those guys to help him out.
Yeah, talking to us, Brian Howell from the CU Buff Zone, looking at this game this weekend against CU and UCLA. How about the defensive side, though, Brian? Don't you expect, with so many returning starters and stars, quite frankly, this CU defense should be pretty good this season?
Yeah, I think so. And statistically, they were not very good last year, but they got a lot better as the season went along. And they've got, I think it's 16 guys that played at least 160 snaps.
Wow.
Coming back, plus their defensive coordinator. So I like the pieces they have. I'm not sure they're going to be, the best defense in the Pac-12, but I think they can be a top half of the Pac-12 type of defense and play a lot better than they did last year. And if they do that, that's going to take some pressure off of Noyer and Lionel if he plays as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Expecting big things from, of course, Nate Landman and Mustafa Johnson. All right, on the UCLA side of things, Chip Kelly, he's known for this high-powered offense all the time, but we haven't really seen that since he got over to UCLA.
No, it doesn't quite have the athletes that he had up in Oregon, and it's been a slow go. I mean, they've only won 7 games in 2 years, and I'm not expecting a big turnaround for UCLA this year. They do have a good quarterback in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. They have a couple nice players, on offense, but, a lot of holes on defense. They got some holes on offense, and I just don't see a great team yet. But their quarterback, you have a third-year starter, so that's always dangerous and could be a big factor in this game.
Yeah, complete opposite of where the Buffs are, right? They have their guy, their established guy. So who do you give the nod to in this one, Brian? Again, I know this time is very difficult, more so than ever, to make predictions, but what do you think?
Well, this is a year where a lot of people are not optimistic, but it hasn't dampened mine. I'm going to try to stay optimistic on the Buffs. I think, I don't think either team is great, but I think the Buffs, I give them the edge being at home, even though there's no crowd. I think they win kind of a slugfest 27-23.
27-23. I like it. Brian, appreciate you. Hey, what are you working on? Getting some pregame stuff for us throughout the weekend that we can check out as we get set for this Buffs game?
Yeah, just some pregame stuff on getting these guys ready for the game, and then just kind of looking at the matchup between the Buffs and Bruins, and got some women's basketball going as well. And we have, not for me, but on our site, we have men's basketball coverage as well, because they're about ready to start too. They're only a couple weeks away, so it's an unusual start to this year.
Yeah, no, it's hard to track everything because some football teams have played a good chunk of their schedule. Some are just starting, and then you got basketball right around the corner. It's going to be fun to track. And of course, you have to wonder, will they or won't they? Who's going to actually play throughout the course of the week? So, it's all very interesting.
Yes, it is, and we'll see if there's a game tomorrow and if there's a 7 games this year. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. Brian, appreciate you, man, and we'll talk to you. We'll check out your stuff this weekend, and we'll hope to catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, man. That's Brian Howell of Buff Zone. And 16 minutes after the hour, we're busting right through this Football Friday. We're going to go Broncos, Falcons preview. We'll start getting into that next. Cody Rourke from Pro Football Network is going to join us as we break down. He'll break down what the film shows us. At least when it comes to that corner play for the Broncos, it's been a strong suit for them this year. But you're going up against an Atlanta team that's number 2 in passing offense. So you really hope that A.J. Boye is good to go. You get Bryce Callahan and rookie Michael O.J. Mudiah clicking on all cylinders. We'll be right back 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now, weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, Colfax, I don't like to brag, but another Thursday night special, locked and loaded. Got it taken care of. I called the Packers to beat the Niners. I called the cover. They did 34-17. But my goodness, Davante Adams is a freak of nature. 10 receptions, 173 yards, and a touchdown. And your boy, Aaron Rodgers, didn't disappoint. 4 touchdowns in that game, over 300 yards. So, heck of a game for the Packers. Packers move to 6-2. I'll bust into the more on the NFL side of the game. Some of my favorite games outside of Broncos Falcons, but more importantly, we got to look at that Broncos Falcons game coming up this weekend. Cody Rourke joining us, Broncos insider talent over at Pro Football Network. Cody, my friend, always look forward to these chats. We got a lot to get into before we can even get into the film. Before the X's and O's, we got to figure out who's actually going to be on the field this weekend.
Yeah, right now, not looking so good for Shelby Harris. He's more than likely not going to be playing in this game. So that means that Deshaun Williams, Sylvester Williams, McKelvin Ajeem, DeMarcus Walker, Draymond Jones, those guys are going to get a little bit more run this week. And as Vic Fangio said, they're going to be prepared, and he believes they're going to play well. So, yeah, I mean, going in, there's obviously a big blow losing Shelby Harris. A.J. Boye is still questionable right now. Still has to go through some concussion protocol. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio mentioned today that, it's looking like he's not on the same track that Philip Lindsay was last week, but that doesn't mean that he's out yet. So we're just waiting final word, which will probably come either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They'll definitely need, if they can get him, A.J. Boye, a tough passing attack with the Falcons for sure. What do we know exactly about Shelby Harris, though? Is he testing positive? Is it more of a contract tracing thing? Do we know a lot of details there just yet?
Yeah, so Shelby was near somebody who had tested positive, and he reported it to the team right away, the team medical staff, and he went through the process, got put on the COVID reserve list, went through contact tracing. I mean, obviously nothing inside the building, and he's isolated, but he's had negative tests all week long. He's never tested positive, so that's good on his part. It's just I don't know anymore, Brady, how the NFL works, because Chris Jones also came into close contact with somebody else, and all of a sudden he's still playing, on Sunday. I just don't understand it. So, Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a little different, you know, with the way that the NFL handles it. I just can't keep up with it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Cody, it's way different than it was Broncos Patriots week, right? I mean, we had a couple of cases, and then we moved that game, and the Broncos basically were told that, hey, by the way, that was your bye week. Hope you enjoyed it. Now we're not seeing that as much. We're seeing cases, but we're kind of just ignoring them, saying it'll be okay. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, no, it really does, and I don't know if it's because Chris Jones is a perennial All-Pro player. I don't know if that's the case, but yeah, I mean, I think the NFL just every week it seems like there's a new inconsistency that kind of pops up, and we're all questioning is, you know, are they doing the right process? But I guess they are. You know, it's just unfortunate that the Broncos are going to be, you know, without their arguably their best defensive player this week, but you know, other guys are going to have to step up.
Yeah, Shelby Harris, you know, you said it, arguably one of their better defensive players. I mean, Harris has been stellar all season long. So, I mean, that is going to be a tall task when the Broncos, you know, they're desperate for W's right now. They want to climb back to that 500 mark.
Yeah, they do, and they have a good chance to do it this week, too. You know, I think of the Atlanta Falcons, they're a lot better than the record indicates. And so I think a lot of people are overlooking that. Now, defensively, they're one of the bottom-ranked defenses. They allow a lot of yards per game. They allow a lot of points per game. You know, but I think that Denver's really going to have to get some big defensive stops. And if they can move the ball downfield and convert in the red zone where the Falcons, they give up red zone points, 74% of possessions by opponents, the Broncos got to capitalize on that. And I think with Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon healthy, Tim Patrick's going to be back in the lineup more than likely this week. I think it bodes well for the Broncos' chances.
Talk to us a little bit about what you saw with Drew Lock last week. You know, that first half, it's rough. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It looked bad. You saw, you know, Broncos country all over Twitter's freaking out, and then suddenly something clicks. Cody, you've watched a lot of football. You've broken down a lot of football games. How much of that fourth quarter comeback was Chargers going into that strange prevent-type defense, or was this Drew Lock showing us what the real Drew Lock's going to be, or is the truth somewhere in between?
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of all of what you just mentioned. Now, the thing about the first half is that, I mean, nothing really changed with the Chargers defense except, you know, they lost Joey Bosa for the last, you know, the last quarter there. But primarily they were sending 3 to 4 rushers every play. They were, you know, all the defensive backs were playing back, and I really think it started for Denver. They struggled on first down. That was an area where they were just not consistent enough. They were going backwards, or they had a second down where they were going backwards. And then you face a third and long or a third and medium. And Denver just wasn't converting on those. And that was really the biggest issue. So for Drew Lock, the emphasis was to hit the baby passes. Well, he did. I mean, Drew Lock, when I go back on the film, you know, there's times where he'll, you know, take his drop back, he'll stare to the left side, and he won't look to his right side. So he's going to have to continue to work on that, continue to improve, going through his reads, progression, seeing the field. And I think a lot of that came in that fourth quarter. There was just a different sense of urgency in the Broncos' offense, and I think it was springboarded by Phillip Lindsay. But I think for Denver to be successful, you know, this upcoming week, they're going to have to not put themselves in those situations and make some of those mistakes early on.
Yeah, you said it. There was a couple. I mean, that was one of those comebacks where if you know everything had to go perfectly, and of course it started.
it really did.
Yeah, it came down to the second, right? So everything had to go perfectly. Phillip Lindsay started with that run. Oh man, what does that run? Obviously, it's big for the offense. But then we're hearing Justin Simmons sees that play and he's looking at his defense, going, "All right, now we just have to go out and get some stops." Like that's motivating this entire team.
Well, I would tell you this, too. I mean, I think the defense had a different mentality to them. Obviously, I think Bryce Callahan's interception. I mean, we talk about Phillip Lindsay's touchdown being the springboard, but Bryce Callahan's interception actually gave them the victory, in my opinion, because L.A. at that point is already in field goal range because Drew Lock threw the interception on the play prior. So, you know, it's a crazy accumulation of how things went for that game. But Kareem Jackson's hit that he had on the running back, I think, was a big tone setter. And the Broncos defense the rest of the way, they had more confidence down the stretch, and I think that was something that really played well for them. And then the offense got going as well. Bashaun Hampton, a quick scoring play, that's exactly what the Broncos needed.
Yeah, no doubt. I love that you mentioned Kareem Jackson. I love seeing defenses. Maybe it's one guy, maybe it's a handful of guys, but guys just with this nasty attitude. And that doesn't mean he's a bad dude. It just means he's nasty when he's out on the field. And, man, I'll tell you this, Cody. If I was an offensive player and I saw him out there, I think I'm going the other way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If I was running for president, my slogan would be "Make football violent again."
Yes,
I like it.
I really would. I like it.
Because Look, you know, Kareem Jackson, he's a guy that plays like a heat-seeking missile. There are a bunch of Chargers fans that were trying to say he was, you know, he was playing dirty. That's not the case. If anyone wants to talk about being dirty, what about Linval Joseph? The last play of the game, the PAT, I mean, he threw down Patrick Morris, injured him, and he may miss the rest of the season now. So,
yeah
I mean, I get divisional games have a lot of juice to them, but, you know, you got to play better than that. And I think for the Denver Broncos, this was a good win that they needed. And now they have a chance to go 500 this week.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you know you get this win, suddenly, I mean, the idea of playoffs is kind of a reality. Cody, I think these the Chargers games are always interesting. For the last couple of years, the Broncos have won those games where at least maybe their season's not dead. The question will be, how do you follow that up? And certainly some games coming up here in these next three or four games where the Broncos could put themselves in a great position. What does the film show you? I know you broke down A.J. Boye. You're really breaking down the defensive backs and how they're doing. Well, man, they're going to need to be on top of their game against this Falcons passing attack this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Broncos, this is the third week in a row they're playing one of the NFL's top-ranked offenses altogether. And the thing that stands out in this game is Calvin Ridley has over 600 yards receiving. He's got six touchdowns. Julio Jones has 500, but he's got two touchdowns. And then Todd Gurley's got eight touchdowns as a running back, the fourth leading rusher in the National Football League. This is a very good offense. Now, I think the storyline for the Atlanta Falcons is that they're just not a very good defensive team. So for Denver, being on the road, you always have to have the mindset that you're already down 14 points. And I think the one thing that's going to determine where this team is going to go is for Drew Locke, right? What Drew Locke is going to show up? Is he going to be the confident guy that can throw it across the middle of the field? I think if that's the case, you know, I think the Broncos would be good. But defensively, you know, as you mentioned with the wide receivers, Denver's going to be tested, and if A.J. Boye can't play, I think that's going to be massive for them.
Yeah, I know. You want to see all those guys out there. We're getting a taste of that more and more, but getting all three of those guys out there certainly is a huge boost for the Broncos defensively. You said it, though, on the offensive side. Drew Locke, let's see what kind of guy he's going to be. What do you see as far as tight ends? You know, Noah Fant, Albert Okwebanon. Are we going to see multiple setups now where both of those guys are in?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more of it as the season progresses. I mean, Drew had mentioned it yesterday that, you know, they like the combination out of 12 personnel, but for Albert O, he's earning more reps, and I think with the injuries the Broncos have at tight end right now, you can't help but see that two-man lineup with those two guys in there. And I think as Albert O gets a lot more comfortable as the season progresses, you're going to see him be targeted a lot more, which I think defenses are starting to pick up on, which I think that's where Drew Locke has to go through. He's got to hit those other guys.
Yeah, spread that ball out. And, man, I tell you what, Gordon and Lindsay, I keep saying it every week, and we see it, you know, we see it kind of in bursts. We don't get to see them both on the, you know, in the lineup in the second half because somebody's hurt or Gordon's situation. But I still feel like, Cody, that once we get this thing going and consistency spells out for these two, I feel like they're going to keep rising in the charts as far as the team stats and the rankings in the rush offense.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the cases. I've always been a big believer of thinking that their offense needs to be, their identity needs to be rushing the football. And I think they have the personnel to do it. You know, it's going to be a big test this week. No Graham Glasgow once again, but you're going to have Austin Schlottman at right guard, Grady Jarrett there at the interior defensive line. Those guys are going to have to step up big. So I think Denver's going to have to try to stretch some of their plays to the outside and be able to capitalize, maybe trap Grady Jarrett a little bit on a trap play, be able to kick him out and then get up. And, you know, the problem I see here, Brady, is that when you look at a team like Atlanta, with Grady Jarrett there, he'll line up in a zero technique, head up on Lloyd Cushenberry. They'll slant him. They'll send one of their very fast and athletic inside backers. That, to me, I think is where the Broncos will be tested and in terms of being able to run the football and also being able to pass it. You mentioned, too, you know, the potential about playoffs. So, look, Denver's getting to a very important stretch here where they're playing a lot of divisional games, right? Next week's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders, and then you're going to play the Raiders at the end of the season. You're going to play the Chargers once more. You're going to play the Chiefs once more. Winning those divisional games is going to be huge in terms of tiebreakers, especially at the end of the season once that seeding comes around. If Denver could get to that happy spot about that seventh-seeded team, they do have a chance to win it, but they also have to hope that a couple other teams lose along the way. But I think this is a team that is still growing. They're trying to find their identity as they get more guys back healthy. I think they're going to be in a better position.
Yeah, no question. We're starting to see guys kind of get put back installed into this, into the lineup, and that certainly helped, I think, with the confidence. And man, what a great outing it was in that fourth for pretty much everybody. I mean, you're seeing everybody get involved. It was nice to see Hamilton. It was nice to see KJ with that game-winning touchdown pass. That's a fun offense when Drew Lock can kind of get everybody involved. Do you see them going more in a fast-paced style offense like we saw late in that game?
They should. I absolutely believe they should. Now, if they don't come out and they, you know, I think that the issue you run into, you could go up tempo from the very beginning, but you know, you have to get a rhythm first. And so I think if you don't have a rhythm, you try to go up tempo, it's not going to work. So if the Broncos could get into a little bit of a rhythm, then go up tempo, then I think it plays well to the personnel that they have, the favor, you know, obviously the lineups, and also being able to get it to where the guys on the other side of the ball defensively don't have time to sub. And I think for Denver, they do have the ability to do it. I think we're going to see a little bit of it on Sunday.
Yeah, well, it should be a lot of fun. Like you said, chance to get back to 500. And, man, then you get Broncos country really excited for the next few games. Cody, what are you working on for us, my friend, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Yeah, we got the film room on YouTube, Cody Work NFL, plus Lockdown Broncos every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on your favorite podcast provider. Make sure you guys check it out. And then every Friday here on the Brady Hole Show.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I love the film study. I'm learning a lot more, man. I'm really enjoying the breakdowns defensively, too. So keep up the great work.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. And that's my goal, really, is just to make football fans that love the game, to make them smarter. And then also those who know the game of football a lot more. It also just increases their awareness on things that are going on. So I think it's the best of both worlds. So I appreciate you tuning in.
I love it, man. All right, Cody. We'll catch up with you next Friday, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, that's Cody Rourke, Broncos insider, NFL media talent at Pro Football Network. I'm telling you, you love football. And listen, Cody's one of those guys, too. He's not over the top. He's not arrogant about it. He's just breaking the film down for you guys, and I absolutely love it. I'm a big fan. Check him out, Cody Rourke, NFL.com. 35 minutes after the hour, Colfax. I'll quickly go through my top three games outside of Broncos-Falcons when we come back. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Forty minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. Tell you guys about SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran owned. And as you've heard, interest rates are at all-time low, so now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt. Car loans, credit cards, student loans, that interest is not tax-deductible and your house payment is. Check them out. Call them, 970-444-1222. Their website is myspecialmortgage.com. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Well, Colfax, it's going to be a crazy week in the NFL. I'm looking forward to Broncos, Falcons. But, let's look at my favorite game outside of Denver and Atlanta. Well, this one looks pretty good. Looks promising anyway. The 6-1 Seattle Seahawks make their way to Orchard Park, taking on the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 6-2. It's a big, big test for Buffalo. You know, obviously Russell Wilson, for many, he's the MVP. For me, he's close. But Josh Allen's a pretty nice quarterback. He's not in that MVP caliber. He's not elite right now, but he's a solid quarterback. You know, he's thrown for 16 touchdowns, and obviously having Devin Singletary back there has been really nice for him. 93 carries, 385 yards and a touchdown. This game to me should be really good. Seattle's favored by 3 in this game. So, like I said, Seattle, for the most part, they keep games pretty damn close. They have a lot of work to do defensively, especially against guarding that pass. But I love this offense, and I think Russell Wilson, you know, listen, if you say Patrick Mahomes is the MVP or Russell Wilson's the MVP, you're probably not wrong, at least at this stage. Okay, next game, Ravens-Colts. The Colts are 5-2. I don't know why I'm so surprised by that. Phillip Rivers, he's been okay, but they have some weapons. They have a lot of guys stepping up. Baltimore, obviously, Lamar Jackson throwing the ball okay, but he's ran for 411 yards and 2 touchdowns. get this, the Ravens are only favored in this one by a point and a half. So maybe this game's going to be pretty good. The Colts kind of have a prove-it type game. They've been all right so far at 5-2. But yeah, Phillip Rivers seems to be pretty happy with his situation, at least at this point. All right, ending out the week. This one's interesting to me. Big, big divisional battle here. Saints-Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is 6-2. Will we see Antonio Brown this weekend? The Bucs are favored by 4.5 points. Saints are still a very powerful offense. It's going to be a Sunday night game. Very excited about that one. To boot, how about the Monday night game? Patriots-Jets. That's a tough one. But the Pats need this one desperately. It's not a game I'm looking forward to, by the way. I'm just adding it because I couldn't help but see that the Monday night game we're adding, that we're carrying on KFKA on Monday, is Patriots-Jets. The Pats are a 7-point favorite in that one. And we'll see if Cam Newton can get it right. Bill Belichick, pretty adamant about, he's our quarterback. He's our guy. He loves Cam Newton. So far, though, the Patriots, the Belichick-Tom Brady debate, Tom Brady's destroying that, right? Brady's doing it with Tampa Bay, and that whole Antonio Brown thing. I mean, Colfax, you kind of went off on this last week, talking about, you know, the whole Patriots situation, and maybe that was about Tom Brady pulling the strings there and trying to get Antonio Brown there. Well, here he is in Tampa Bay, so it's looking like it was all Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, does that kind of point as a clue towards Tom Brady's pull at the Patriots organization?
Maybe.
The fact, because Antonio Brown doesn't fit the mold of what you think Belichick would be looking for, right?
No, but neither does Gronk, really, either. And, okay. And Gronk retired, though, and then came back, you know, once he found out Tommy B's going to Tampa Bay, and now Gronk's there. So, yeah, it kind of just goes to show you how much pull Brady had, and Kraft was, you know, whatever you say, Tom, we're going to do it. Did something change in the last year or two where it was more about Belichick? Not quite sure, but yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, Brown lived with Brady during a short stint with the Patriots. He lived with Tom Brady then, and then obviously screwed up again and couldn't get it right. Well, now we're hearing that he's staying with Brady again, and Antonio Brown, I mean, he has nothing but amazing things to say about Tom and how he's learning from him as a man. That's a heck of a risk for Tom Brady. Patriots don't usually take those kind of risks, right? The Pats, they did it with Antonio Brown last year, but maybe it's because they knew this was Brady's last year. Let's try to do the Brady Moss thing again and see if we can get one more Super Bowl out of this thing before we all have to part ways. We can suffer through Antonio Brown's antics for, you know, half a season. Didn't work out. But it proves that Brady's kind of the one taking the risk. The Bucs are 6-2. I have them going to the Super Bowl this year. Brown is, if he can be at that level he was before he kind of, you know, lost it a little bit, then you're looking at arguably the best receiver in the game. He was at the point when he was at his peak. So if you can get that guy, then it's going to be talked about as, wow, what an absolute huge, huge risk reward. The Bucs find a way to make the best out of it. But I'm very intrigued by this, you know, because this is a risk for Tom Brady, both you know, professionally and personally. I mean, he's in your house, and Brown, it's not like he just was ornery either. You know, he was doing bad things. He was doing he threw a TV out his window, almost hit a kid. Obviously, some of the tweets he said about women and just a lot of crazy things this guy's done where you could borderline say kind of dangerous to be around. So Tom Brady sees something in this guy. And listen, I'm all about second chances and, you know, honestly, even more chances if you can really get to the heart of the problem. And maybe Brown's getting there. Maybe he is. Maybe not. I'm not holding my breath. But it's certainly a risk for Tampa Bay, and we'll see if it pays off. Broncos, Falcons. All right, Colfax, coming up next, I'll get to my three keys to victory for the Broncos, what they need to do. Listen, the Broncos have they've put together some nice W's I know you're going to argue and say, well, Brady, it's not against that great of teams and the Jets and the Patriots. But this is where they are. They're 3-4. They've won 3 out of their last 4 games. They have an opportunity to get back to 500 and make that Raiders game absolutely crucial. So, love it, hate it, come up with an excuse, whatever. The Broncos have an opportunity to become relevant in the NFL playoff race. We'll get to the keys to the game next.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And it's the amount of football. They get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on 3. 1, 2, 3.
I found the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play.
Thank you for answering the prayers that I've stolen.
Where are we at
this time? What about this crime? Let's get the ball rolling.
You're the best in the United States of America tonight.
We'll get our whole team's best, and it starts with me. They'll get my best this week. And this is the way I'm feeling.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Broncos Falcons this weekend. And Denver looks to make it 4 out of the last 5. They've won 3 out of the last 4. Obviously coming back and beating the Chargers somehow, some way. They took care of the Patriots a few weeks back and the Jets. And I know, looking back at it, you're saying, well, yeah, the Patriots looking to be a pretty bad team. Although 4 weeks ago, the smart guys over NFL Network and ESPN were saying, hey, maybe the Patriots are going to be a threat in the AFC. Well, Cam got COVID and everything changed. No, I don't think it quite works like that. But you know what? Fine. Some people obviously have some long-term deals to deal with, but I don't really think we should be saying that's the excuse for it. I don't know that the Patriots are there. Broncos found a way to get it done. Didn't look great, but they did. Obviously get smoked by the Chiefs. I saw some good things against the Chiefs defensively. But the Chiefs ultimately got away with 43 points. You know, obviously some of that wasn't just the offense. So we can't see a repeat of that game. Broncos in that first half, we talked about it all week. If Drew Lock continues to go down that trajectory in the first half where he's struggling, he's missing open receivers, he's too quick to roll out of the pocket, then we would be having a very weird conversation this week about the future of the quarterback position. But as ESPN noted, the best timed quarter goes to Drew Lock, meaning when they needed it the most, Drew Lock did it. When his career needed it the most, his young career, he found a way to overcome. And instead, we're talking about the heroics of Drew Lock. Well, that could all be thrown back into the trash again if the Broncos can't follow it up and find a way to beat the Falcons, who much better than the record shows, but I think the Broncos are a better team. Keys to success, number one, Drew Lock. You got to come out and be much better in the first half. Trust your offensive line. I know it's tough, you know, over the last 2-3 years that they've been bad, but you got to trust that offensive line, stay in the pocket, step up into the pocket, find your receivers, find your tight ends. Defensive back play is number two. I don't know if A.J. Boye is going to go or not. He was picked on last week against the Chargers. You have the second best passing attack in the NFL in the Falcons. Michael Ojemudia, you're a rookie. I know you got to be expected to be better, but that's them's the breaks, right? Bryce Callahan, you got to be special too. And another one on the defensive side of the ball. Force Matt Ryan and make him uncomfortable back there. Bradley Chubb, Malik Reed, get after that quarterback. You're without Shelby Harris. So that's a big blow to this team. Get those things done, and I think the Broncos move to a 500 record. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.